Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest for today's show is Alex Woodard. Singer, songwriter, and Hay House author Alex Woodard has toured nationally, earning prestigious industry nods and sharing the stage with some of today's most popular acts. Alex's first book and album package, For the Sender, features his story of release and redemption woven through songs written about real-life letters. Now, with the release of his second book and album package in the For the Sender series, Alex weaves his own story with those of others through heartfelt songs and stories. Based around letters from five people, each living extraordinary lives, For the Sender, Love Is, Not a Feeling, builds upon Alex's first book. This book shows us that true love may be found not just in what we think or feel, but in what we do for others. When he's not surfing in his beach town of north of San Diego, Alex lives with a big dog and an even bigger horse in the mountains of Idaho. To connect with Alex Woodard online, please visit his website at www.alexwoodard.com. Alex, are you there?
I am here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I am so happy to talk with you about your books and your songs today. I've read both books cover to cover and listened to all the songs, and I just love them both, and I love the stories, and I'm so happy to have you on the show today. You are such an example of living your music.
It is a pretty literal, I'm literally doing it in this case. You know, it's very, when I was told about talking with you and saw the name there, Live Your Music, I thought it couldn't be more appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of the people that have listened to my shows have said, well, it seems like you have a lot of people on that actually do live music. One of the guys that I interviewed recently is an author, but he's not a musician, and so he was kind of feeling like he should be doing music too, I think. But it's based on, the show's title's based on what Wayne Dyer's always said, don't die with your music still in you, only without the don't and without the die. It's just a reminder for us all to live what we feel inspired to live. And in your case, it really is music. And I wanted to say that I really, really enjoyed hearing you speak at the I Can Do It Ignite in San Jose in 2013, and also when I reviewed the 2012 Pasadena I Can Do It live stream, and I saw you on the PBS special with Wayne Dyer and Sky when she was singing This Gift, and so
right.
Yeah. I mean, what an amazing story. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how did this whole thing get started?
Well, you know, it started with a single letter from a woman named Emily. And I didn't know Emily. She was a fan who was living in Connecticut. And at the time, I was kind of at a lower point in the music business. I'd been at it for a lot of years, and I'd had some success, but I talk more about it in the book. It's just kind of one of those stories of getting what you want and finding out it's not really what you need. And right around that time, I got this letter from Emily, and she said that she felt that my songs were pieces of myself that I was putting out into the world, and she wanted to give me a piece of herself. And so in addition to this note to me, she included a letter that she had written to her soulmate, and she writes to him every year now that he's passed away, and he's been dead for, I don't know, at the time, this was a few years ago, I think he'd been gone 6 or 7 years, and every year she writes him this letter and tells him, you know, it's not particularly sad, it's more just, you know, telling him what's been going on the past year and what's happening with her and how she hopes he's okay wherever he is. And it was really, really, really beautiful. And so I took a friend of mine was living in my back house, and he's got a band called Nickel Creek, which is a bigger bluegrass band, and and we wrote a song together for her called "For the Sender" about how a letter is like a prayer, and that it's more for the sender. And I took that song, and you know, kind of as a a show of gratitude for her sending me the letter, I sent her the song, and she was. She sent me a beautiful thank you note back, and I was so moved by it, the thank you note even, that I wanted to write something else and then something else. And so one thing led to another, and before I knew it, I had a collection of letters and songs that I wove my own story through to create this book. And that was the first book, which is For the Sender, Four Letters, 12 Songs, One Story.
Yeah, Four Letters, 12 Songs, One Story.
That's right.
I've got them right
and,
here next to me.
Good. So anyway, that was the genesis of the whole thing, was that one song. This entire project sprouted up from it. It took me on a whole other path. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do for a living and where I was going to end up after spending, you know, all of my adult life really going after this dream in the music business. The avenue opened up for me. You know, I had to kind of let go of that dream, which ended up being, you know, quite a... I don't know if you were at the I Can Do It when I walked out on the stage and said, stop dreaming. But that's something I got in the habit of doing at some of these Hay House events, because a lot of folks are there to... you know, to feel inspired, right? And they want to go after their dreams. But the idea is that what you're supposed to be doing might be something bigger and more beautiful than anything you could ever have dreamed of, you know? And that's what happened to me. I had a very specific dream about the music industry, right? Mm-hmm. And what I ended up doing, using those skills, but what I was supposed to be doing was something much bigger than that. And so that, and it's quite a, it's quite a burden off, you know, when you kind of let go of that idea that you have to be a certain thing, and you kind of open up to a lot more of what the world has to offer, and you breathe a lot deeper. So anyway, that's the genesis of this whole deal was that one song, For the Sender.
I love hearing you talk about that, and the thing, you're right. So in my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, one of the chapters is about dreams, but I called it A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes. And the reason I did is because what I'm talking about is something that you feel called to do, something you feel inspired to do, not I'm going to make $1 billion because I sold a whole bunch of albums or books or whatever. You know, it's not about making a pile of money. It's about doing what you feel called to do. And sometimes one thing, like you said, leads to another and another and another. It's like you don't know necessarily what's going to happen. And that's one of the things I love about that story. And also, when you talk about letting go, it reminds me, too, of Skye's album, Letting Go, Skye Dyer's album.
Mm-hmm.
She and Serena have both been on my show a couple times. Well, actually, yeah, they've both been on twice. And August was the last time that they were on. And during that time, I played Mirror of Skies when she was on, and I played the song This Gift when Serena was on, and that is just such a beautiful song.
Thank you.
I just love that song. It gives me chills because it was based on that letter she had written to her dad. But the thing is that as a mom, I'm a mom, and my son's name's Alex, by the way.
Oh wow!
If I could have him say something similar to me, that would be so awesome. And so, yeah, even as a mom, that song really gives me chills and goosebumps. But the whole thing about letting go, the title of her album, is so much the theme of what you're talking about here and about what she had to do. And it's been the theme of my whole year, letting go.
Oh, that's great. I mean, you know, we did that Skye's album in my at my house, you know, in my living room, where we did all these other songs for For the Sender. That's where we've recorded them all. We did her whole deal in my living room too. So it was kind of a cool full circle moment in a way, you know, because that Letting Go album for her was a huge departure from her other stuff. You know, I don't know if you've listened to what she's done before, but way different. And it's definitely
my favorite of all her albums. And in fact, I listen to it in my car over and over again. It just makes me feel so good to hear the songs, and it reminds me to let go. You know, I think we all need that reminder over and over again to let go and to let life take us where we're supposed to go, instead of trying to be holding on to the stream and going like paddling upstream to the path.
Well, that's a great, I was just going to say, it's funny you bring up stream, because it's about, you know, I use that analogy a lot of a river, right? And a river, it's so powerful, and it cuts deep into the earth, but it picks its own way. It takes the path of, you know, least resistance, so to speak. But there's nothing more powerful than it. You know, it's really pretty fascinating if you start trying to mirror your life according to, you know, the cyclical nature of, you know, what's out there in the world around you. It's pretty, you end up being a lot happier, I can tell you that much. It's almost as if, you know, you kind of just, you let that river take you where you're supposed to go.
You are so totally right about that. You know, the time ends up going by incredibly fast since I do a half-hour show, which I like because of the fact that, I don't know, we're all so busy in the hour-long shows. I just never have enough time to listen to them all in one sitting. But it's going to go really quickly, and I wanted to play, I have your song For the Sender from the first album queued up, and I'd really love to play that. It's 3.5 minutes for everybody listening, and it is just such a beautiful song, and it's what started this whole project. So I want to play that and then talk to you about that after, Alex.
Sounds good.
Okay. I don't know why, but it's not playing. It's circling around, but it's not doing it.
That's strange.
Well, maybe you were not.
Did you try it out beforehand?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. I've never had this happen before.
Well, if we could keep talking, and then if it, and you could keep trying, and if it pops up, then we can jump off real quick or something. People are really forgiving of that stuff, you know.
Yeah, this is you know, it's like this, doing this show is a learning experience every time, and this is the absolute first time that I've ever had it be where I can't hear the song.
I wonder if it's playing and we don't know it, you know.
Well, it seems to be, because the time's going by for the song. So
it's probably going. Yeah.
It thinks it's going, but it's not playing. But you know what? Maybe letting go, you know. Maybe
That's right. It is
that people are supposed to listen to the song by going to your website and hearing the song, and
that could be
buying
your
books. You know, I can't recommend them enough, you know. I mean, it just,
oh, thank you.
It's funny because I remember hearing you talking about Kona, sweet little Kona. Oh my gosh,
right.
Your dog. When I had seen you speak at the I Can Do It Ignite, and feeling, I just fell so in love with her. Even though you know, some people call themselves dog people, and some people cat people, and whatever. I love all animals personally, but there was a black lab that a neighbor of ours had long time ago named Migo, that so I could kind of feel like I knew Kona, and she was just such a sweetheart, and I love the stories that you tell about her in there, and the on Facebook how you had put the picture of baby Kona.
Oh, right, right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah, with her little face looking out the window of the car. It was just so wonderful.
Pretty cute. That was the first hour I had her. You know, that was back in the day when you had, you know, people had disposable, you bought disposable cameras, you know, and they still had those kinds of things. And I had just bought one and was coming back into the car. I took the wrapper off the camera and I was throwing it away. That's what happened. And then I turned around and saw that photo that's on Facebook now. And, you know, it's the first one I ever took. And so it was, it's a special one for me, you know, because that was the next 14 or 15 years almost, you know, right there in that photo. That's what it came down to. So, and I think a lot of people out there relate to that. You know, a lot of people find at certain points in their lives they find more connection in with an animal than they do with a person. And I think that is much more common than people admit. And it doesn't have to be forever. You know, sometimes it might be for 5 minutes, that connection, or it might be for 2 years, or who knows. But there's something really, really authentic and honest about it, which is why I think it's such a strong and powerful connection, you know, that people have with animals, all kinds, all different kinds. You know, that first book was about the dog, and the second one's about the horse, and they're both equally powerful, just in a different way.
Yeah, you're totally right. And I remember when I was first living in Marin County back in the, it was like the late 70s, and I was living alone, and I was feeling really lonely. And so on Valentine's Day, actually it was Valentine's Day 1980, I remember, I went to the pet store, and I was living in an apartment where I couldn't have a cat or a dog. So I decided I would get a little blue parakeet, because I'd had parakeets when I was growing up, and I thought, well, I'll get a little parakeet, and I named her Feather. And she was just such a character, you know. She was very, very brave. And when my husband Dudley and I started going out, I didn't realize it at the time, but he really loved birds. And I swear to God, Alex, I think he fell in love with Feather first.
That's awesome.
So she was so funny. She would go on the coffee table and knock things off and just kind of look over the edge at the side. And we had her for like 7 years. We considered her our first child.
Right.
And so, you know, and we still remember her after all these years. And just, you know, animals really are special. I've got one lying here on my desk right now. His name is Bender, and he looks like Gray Poupon, Cheryl's cat. Looks like his twin, and we didn't even ever plan to get a cat.
Right.
It was just our son, Alex, who actually goes by the name Xander, Z-A-N-D-E-R, because there's so many Alexes. He switched to Xander when he started college back in 2008. And his girlfriend found this little kitten, and he couldn't keep it, so we'd gone down to visit, and we fell in love with him as he was a little kitten, and said, okay, well, we'll adopt Bender if you can't keep him. And so we got him at Christmas 2010, and he's been with us ever since, and he's a lot
That's a great
now.
Name. I love that name.
Yeah, Bender. He's named after the robot in Futurama. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No, so, I haven't. I know about all about Benders, though.
Yeah, it's an animated cartoon show, and it's a robot in there that our son really likes, so he named him after that, Bender. But he is Bender. He's a bendable animal, really flexible.
Right.
Now, horses are something I also love a lot. I've always loved horses. I grew up, this is something a lot of people don't know about me, I grew up on a ranch up in Shasta County.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, about 17 miles west of Mount Lassen, and in the middle of nowhere, basically out in the forest. And we had moved up there because of my dad loving horses. He had gone to a high school where they had horses called Thatcher down in Ojai. And so we had a pony ranch and then horses. And my best memories with my dad, and I don't have that many really, of training my horse, Cossack. So, yeah, I could really, really relate to what it's like to fall off of a horse and what they're like. And tell us a little bit about Annie, though. Tell us. She is so beautiful. I have a picture of her for the people that are watching on the computer. They can see it in the slideshow, the picture of you and Annie.
Oh, cool. Yeah, she's a special one. And I'd been around horses and ridden growing up, but I had not really had one, per se. And I thought I knew what I was doing, and I bought her thinking she was just kind of what they call a bomb-proof trail horse, meaning that nothing would get to her. And I rode her a couple times, and it seemed that way. I went out with the guy that sold her to me, and, you know, I don't think he knew any better either, but she was really good out there on the trail. But long story short is that, you know, she was really good is because whoever had had her before had trained her, if you want to call it that, really aggressively. And so she was scared to do anything wrong, you know, so she was really, and I, looking back, it's, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but she was really rigid, you know, and very, very, you know, you could tell she was nervous. So the first time that I ever got on her without anybody around, you know, I ended up buying her, and the first time I got on her without anybody around, she just took off. We were in an arena, and she took off, and I fell when she hit the end of the fence line down there. And she wasn't, you know, if you know anything about horses, a lot of times they'll, as soon as you're off them, they'll stop, you know? And so she did that. And she kind of just stopped and looked at me like, what happened? And I looked at her from the ground saying, what happened? And that kind of started this journey of me realizing, wait a second, this isn't the horse I thought I got. And there's something else entirely here. And the story of that second book is how I kind of saw something else in her. And there was, it was really, it happened one day. It happened the day I got her. You know, I think I tell the story when she, I was, you know, like rubbing on her on one side while my buddy was cinching her up on the other, and she turned and bit me. And yeah, and she knocked me back a couple, you know, her teeth didn't break the skin, but, I mean, she's a powerful girl, and it knocked me back a little bit. And but right then, in the moment after she did that, her eyes softened incredibly. I mean, it was just an immediate, like, they were really, you know, tight at first, and then as soon as she did it, they softened into, like, I didn't mean to kind of thing. And I saw that. And when I saw that, I knew that there was something special in this horse. So that look popped up a couple times over the next 6 or 8 months while I was trying to figure out, you know, what to do with her and what she needed. And that's the story that I tell in the book is figuring out, you know, finding, first of all, someone that could help me, and then building that trust back up between her and I. And there was just a series of milestones, you know, and that's why I made it part of that second book, because there was just these huge moments that are lessons for me and her, but they're also, you know, lessons for the greater, you know, for the world outside the horse. I mean, totally.
And I actually have to admit that the second book in a lot of ways is my favorite of the two, but the first book gives you the background that helps you understand the second book. So I highly recommend that people read the first book first and then go into the second one instead of just getting the second one just because it's the newest one.
I think that's the what a lot of people don't know too, which I'm telling you, but in your audience now, is that this whole thing, it's a trilogy.
Right.
And so they're supposed to build upon, you know, one's going to build on the other. And so the idea was to make that first book real, you know, it's readable, it's quick. It's a quick read, that first one.
Right.
But that kind of, you know, sets the foundation for the second and then what will be the third. So I'm glad you like the second one a little better in that sense, because that was my, you know, my hope was to have the second one be a little bit more, I don't know, of a read, if that makes sense.
Well,
it's
more uplifting, I think. You know,
absolutely, it is.
Through a lot of the hard times that you had getting going, living your music. But the second one, you're living it and then also learning more lessons through living it and through this horse. And I loved what you said the woman who was helping you with the horse had said to Annie, could you let that thought go? That I wrote that down on a post-it, and it's so true with us in life, too. Could you let that thought go? And the answer is always yes. I mean, you know, people think the answer is no, but it really is yes that you can. And, oh, Alex, the time is just almost gone, and I just need to say before I run out of time that next week on Wednesday, October 15th, my guest will be Judy O'Byrn, and we'll be talking about her new book that's just come out. It's called Unwavering Strength, Stories to Inspire You Through Challenging Times. And I'll be posting the link for the show on Facebook and Twitter, and you can also sign up for my email list at my website, margojoydenader.com, to receive updates about the shows that are coming up. And Alex, I just really wish we could have played that song. I wonder if it would work. I'm just going to try and see it if it works.
You never know.
Yeah, I don't know. There it is. We have just enough time.
Hello, my friend. It's me again, writing words that I can't send you. Autumn's cold, leaves are old. Letting go, not me. It's when we met, and it's when you left, and it's when our love was the best. So every year I write you this letter, though like a prayer.
Alex, I love that song. We are almost out of time, and the recording can go a little bit longer than what will be heard by the live people. So, you know, I wanted to say that you have some shows coming up in October 10th. You have a private show?
October. That's coming up soon in Lake Tahoe. That's this Friday, actually. And then...
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff is on my website at alexwaters.com. And then we have a show in San Diego on October 30th, I believe. It'll be a small,
right,
intimate for the center. Yeah, which is a great venue. That's like, that's a place that launched Jewel and Jason Mraz and a lot of the bigger San Diego singer-songwriters were doing it at that little intimate venue. And then we just announced one, a holiday show for the center. And that will be also in San Diego, in the north part of the county, at a venue called the Belly Up, which is my favorite and a lot of folks' favorites around town. So that'll be fun. That's December 14th. And that'll be the whole...
Wonderful.
Yeah, it'll be the whole cast of For the Sender, and it'll be, you know, a seated show. So I'm really stoked about that one. That'll be a lot of fun. We just finally got it confirmed and all the details wrapped up. It's hard to get everybody, you know, in the same place that's involved in this project.
Yeah, that's fantastic news.
A lot of artists. So I'm excited about that one, too.
I'm excited for you, too. And also, October 24th and 25th, you're going to be at the Pasadena I Can Do It conference as well, aren't you?
That's right. That's exactly right. That'll be,
yeah,
I think I'm on the
24th,
am I? Or is it the 25th? I don't remember.
Well, 24th is when Wayne Dyer will speak in the evening, I believe. And then,
okay, I'm the 25th.
They have you on the 25th for the year.
I'll be with Wayne, too. I mean, well, you know, we'll do this gift and that kind of stuff, you know,
right,
that night. So I'll hopefully see some of your audience there. You know, it's our last one for a while. I think it's going to be my last I Can Do It for, you know,
for
till 2015, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think, or no, sorry, 2016 probably for me. I'll probably take next year off. So, so hopefully we'll see some of your audience out there.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on my show, and thank you for writing your books and your songs. It really inspires me, and I know it's going to inspire so many people to live the
thank
music they
much.
Hear calling them. You know.
I think it's very. It's one of those things where the first step is the hardest, you know, as far as the living the music thing. And then once you once you take those first couple, it kind of unfolds in front of you.
Yeah. So, well, bye for now, Alex. I look forward to the next time I can have you on my show and maybe play some more of the songs. And I'm just so glad. I'm excited about the third book. I can't wait to read it.
Thank you. It'll be November of next year is what it's slated for. So maybe we'll talk again next year about that one.
That sounds fantastic. Bye for now, everyone. Good. Remember to live the music that you hear calling you. Talk to you next week. Bye.